This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Now, the opening drive.
It is Danny, Dave, and Moore on one of the days we live in this city for. It's gorgeous. We're here at Safeco Field at Edgar's Cantina. Our Friday show brought to you by Soul Beer. Jim Moore has been moved to tears, in fact. Or maybe that's just the sunscreen which he's been wiping around his face.
Yeah. Let me find the button here. Yeah. Well, you only brought 15, and I need 30, so Dave brought 30, so I doubled down, and yeah.
Now, I was informed that the talent needed 30 SPF, yeah. The talent being Jim here today.
And we're watching the Red Sox play soccer.
We are. I've been trying to heckle them. I informed them it was a baseball stadium, not a soccer stadium, and they should probably stop playing soccer. We also have the question, we're waiting on Nelson Cruz to be able to join us and see if he's ready here for us. It's Danny, Dave, and Moore. We're here at Safeco Field. A disappointing result for the Mariners last night, 2-1. Is there such thing as a good loss? Because if so, that's what it was. Is it a good loss?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think especially for Felix. I mean, that was the biggest concern was going in. We probably spent an hour talking about that yesterday, about Felix, whether he could or could not adjust. And look, he had command of his fastball and ended up only, giving up, I can't remember the line, but it was a 2-1 game. I think that it looks to me like he's going to be able to be that kind of guy. So that was all I cared about. Like, I would take a loss. If you'd asked me, if they lose but Felix is able to pitch that kind of a game, would you take it? Absolutely yes, going forward. I just, that was my big concern and worry, was that he wasn't going to be able to be that kind of guy and not be able to adapt his game, and he clearly did. So maybe some of that stuff that where he was talking about, well, I just got unlucky here and there. I mean, maybe there's a little bit more to that, because he totally looked like he was in command last night.
Well, he didn't. He looked like he did 2 weeks ago when he faced Tampa Bay. And so you wonder what happened there at Tampa Bay. Again, I love Felix last night. It was nice to see that. But I think, Danny, we were talking about it. We more or less, I was hoping for 6 innings, 3 runs. You got much better than that. And Felix actually could have gotten away. I felt like Haniger should have caught that ball.
The one that fell in front of him? Jackie Bradley?
They called it a single. Is it?
Oh, the one where he got on base, where it kind of hit the heel of his glove. It looked like it dived on him a little
bit.
And
then on the steal, Segura dropped the ball. I just thought there was some bad luck there. Now, I gave up the home run to Bogarts, but still, yeah, you'll take that all year long with Felix if he can have an outing like that. But one more time. The next outing against the Yankees, I think we'll see vintage Felix again. It's just, again, the one when he gets in those games against Baltimore and Kansas City, can Felix muster up what he brought last night?
So, yeah, 8 hits, 2 earned runs was the line, and 6 strikeouts, only 1 walk. So you take that all day long from Felix.
Felix pitched well. Like, Felix pitched well in that game. The results aside, if you're just looking at, that is a good performance from Felix against the best hitting team in the league. He pitched well. The first run comes off of a kind of a bloop single that maybe could have been caught, a stolen base, and then a double down the line by Jackie Bradley. The next one is a home run where, look, he got in a big double play ball. I might have jinxed him by saying how I wasn't happy for Felix. I was excited for him because of how fired up he was. You could tell how plugged into the game he was. He ends up giving up the home run. That ends up being the difference in the game. But just on Felix's, if yesterday we said the difference between can't and won't, if the question with Felix's struggles is whether he can't adjust to a new reality or he won't, we're all cheering for won't, because won't's easy to fix. Won't's a matter of mentality. And last night would be any question about, hey, can he do it? Yeah, he can do it, because he did it last night against the best hitting team in the league.
The best part for me was when it was first and second. Red Sox had batters on first and second, and you're thinking, oh, man, Felix is right around 100 pitches. I kept waiting, and Root Sports had the shot of Service and Stottlemyre in the dugout, and I thought, Service is just giving him a little more time. There's no way he's going to let him face Mookie Betts.
He's going against Mookie Betts.
And Mookie Betts, the best hitter in the league. Yeah. Felix is tiring. It was a little looper single, but still, first and second, 2 outs. He's going to the pen, and then he stays with Felix, and he gets out of it with a double play on 1 pitch. So it was a brilliant managerial decision by Service. But if that ball had gone between the shortstop and third baseman, everybody would have been going, what was Service thinking?
Yeah, well, and that's, and it's not like he had a hard climb work out of that jam, but he got it done with one pitch. But it seems to be a trend that we're seeing from these pitchers. You know, we've seen Paxton do that. We've seen Leak do it. Marco Gonzalez get out of these sticky situations. So it was awesome to see as well. And yeah, I thought the same thing. I mean, you see Mookie Betts coming, and he's having an unbelievable year this year. He's leading the, American League anyway with a .352 batting average, so, which is too bad for Gene Segura, because he's second with, I think he's at .347 or .342 now, but it's too bad, because, you know, this is such a great year for Segura, but man, Betts is just on fire.
Yeah, and you talked about it, Danny. It sounds crazy to say, well, it was a good loss, but that was a good loss. When the game was over, you just went, oh man, they almost got to Kimbrel, and Healy hit it hard. Double play to end the game, and so
Seager had a terrible at bat. Seager's at bat was brutal.
He struck out against one of the best closers in the game.
It was a
terrible
at bat.
I'm gonna start sticking up for Kyle Seager. I'm sick of people picking on Kyle Seager.
Why?
Why?
Yeah. Why are you sick of it?
You want to check out Kyle Seager's stats
right now?
What
he's hit like
236.
He's a really good player as a Mariner.
He's hitting less than two. Well, he's hitting .313 in his last four games. Leave him alone. Have you seen the defense he's playing at third base?
He's
sick
playing
of people
great defense.
Getting on Kyle Seager. Every time I turn on some show or watch somebody saying something, it's always like, Kyle Seager, boy, you keep waiting for Kyle Seager to heat up.
Well, I'm sick of you getting on the king and saying we need to put him out to pasture or put him in the bullpen. Why is Kyle Seager
the king? The king is further gone than Kyle Seager. Isn't he? I mean, Kyle Seager is still 29. I don't know. Craig Kimbrel's a pretty good closer, isn't he?
He struck out on three pitches. He looked terrible in that at bat. And I'm not going to pick on Seager and say, oh, it's the reason they lost. It was a really good game. Like, it was an edge of your seat, really exciting game to watch. I don't like the idea
That's Nelson Cruz. Kyle Seager's a really good player, isn't he?
Yeah.
Kyle Seager's tremendous. Yeah. Fantastic third baseman.
Absolutely in there. We are joined now, and Nelson Cruz is going to sit down with us, which is going to be really fun to talk to him and look at what the Mariners did. It was a great game to watch, and I think that those are the sort of opportunities and games that we need to get used to. It was an edge-of-your-seat sort of game. Nelly, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Thank you. It's a great weather today, huh?
It's really nice.
Beautiful. Yes.
Yeah, this isn't what you... People described Seattle to you when you were coming here. They were saying, get ready for the rain, and you get days like this.
I mean, it's the middle of June. It had to come.
You know what? Actually, when I was playing here for the Seahawks in June in 1991, it rained every day in June. And then I was like, okay, I got to get a place in Arizona after this. But so, yeah, this is actually really nice.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
What was the game like last night, Nelson?
It was fun. I mean... two great pitchers, you know, and it was one mistake, you know, and that was the difference of the game. But overall, we pleased with the game we play, you know. We know we're facing good pitching and a good bullpen, so it can go either way, you know, because we also have a great pitching and great bullpen.
Nelson, how are you feeling? Because I think Scott Service was calling you the human bruise or something.
What does that mean?
Well, it just means that, man, you were getting banged up and everybody hit. I thought the best point of the season was when your home run total went past your hit by pitch total. It's ridiculous, man. I mean, everybody was hitting you. We were getting mad because, and then you had a little ankle problem and things like that. But how are you feeling?
Good. I mean, I understand him getting hit by pitch is part of the game, too. You know, no, it's not only hit homers and getting hit, you know, so. Some point, if you think is it obvious that they want to hit you, you get mad. You know, the other day, you know, even it hurt. You know, I guess it take a while to understand. It's also part of the game.
Yeah. Is it okay if I get mad at them and like scream?
Yeah,
at them?
Yeah, you can get mad.
Okay, and I can shout at them like, "Stop hitting Nelson!"
I know it's just getting old, man. Yeah, you were wearing it well though.
Yeah, I mean, get all the gears that I can get to protect myself.
Yeah,
especially in the joints, so I don't get. I don't lose any more games.
Yeah, how hard was it for you when you're coming back? Because it seems like you're trying to get your timing and you're trying to get your health, and to get all of that to come together must be difficult.
Yeah, it was hard. I mean, as you know, I don't play that many games in spring training. I think the season come up and I would feel really good. You know, I was excited, you know, all the adrenaline for the first two games, and I was like hitting homers. And downs go crazy, like they said. You know, I went down the stairs and I cannot believe it, you know, walking to the stairs, you fell, you know.
Do you go down the stairs differently now? I mean, do you?
I go more cautious. Yes. Anytime that I okay, slow down. Yeah, but I mean, like you mentioned, you know, I tried to get the rhythm of my swing and all that, and just stuff keep happening, you know, and I wasn't able to get my swing dry. I mean, I played through injuries before, but nothing like the ankle. Until it happened, you don't realize how important it is, you know, just to use your back leg and drive with the balls. That's how you drive the ball to the gap and to the outfield. So I was trying to use all my hands and upper body. When I was, even when I came back, it wasn't good.
It's fun to watch you hit, man. Like watching your swing and the power that you generate. It's been a blast for the 4 years you've been here and before that. What does it feel like when you hit a home run?
Awesome. I think, like I mentioned before, you know, you put all the work behind the scene, you know, you come here earlier, you watch videos, you, sleep well, do your diet, you know, make sure your body's right, your mind's right. So when that moment comes, you know, it's a good feeling to see all the work that you put together paying off.
What would you guys take if you could do one thing? Well, you could probably actually do most of the things, but like a slam dunk, home run, strikeout. Like, I think I'd pick hitting a home run. Like, I think that'd feel pretty unbelievable.
And how about add the walk-off to it, too? That's got to be awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I think walk-off, it makes it better, you know, in the game with the homer. It makes it special. You get the double for your teammates, and all the fans go happy home.
We were talking to Jerry DePoto about, you know, players when they get older. And I was saying, you know, when I played, I never thought I lost a step. If you'd have asked me, I'd say, yeah, I was just as good as when I was younger. But that's just the mindset.
Yeah,
exactly. But, you know, he was saying you're a much better player in your, you know, in your older years. Take that. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, take that the right way, right?
I get it.
Because
right
I always stick up for the old guys because, yeah, you always think that you
get
can keep
experience.
Going.
That's it. Yeah.
Exactly. We'll call it experience, guys. Yeah. There you go. But do you find that you are paying more attention to details and taking better care of yourself than when you were younger?
No doubt. I think now I realize how important it is for me to my body to make sure I do all the things that I can do to be able to play every day. Not only that, pay attention to pictures, details, sequences, you know. Mm-hmm. I always have something that I can watch, and I never take the eyes out of the picture, even when they're warming up. So the little things that I can get to help me perform better there, I take it, you know.
Do you eat healthy all the time?
No. I mean, I don't eat
much. Like you stop a jacket, in the box on the way home or anything?
No, none of that.
What's the bad stuff that you eat, though?
I guess in a row, once in a while, you better get some fries, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's got the best fries?
At the hotels, yeah. Definitely, I always eat at the hotel. I don't eat out.
Always at the hotels?
Yeah.
Hey, we talked to Ryan Healy yesterday, and Danny asked him who, in the dugout, which of his teammates is one that might be chirping a lot, saying a lot of different things, busting chops. And he mentioned you. He mentioned you, Nelson, that you like doing that kind of stuff.
Well, I guess. I mean, like you say, experience, you know.
Yeah, you said you and Kyle Seager go back a lot.
Well, we the best friends on the team, so you see how we hog and all that.
Yeah.
So we always got something to say, even when they throw over to first base. We always call balk, or when they drop a baseball, we scream. I mean, we have different stuff.
So you're giving the other guys a hard time?
Yeah, the opposite team.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you worried about... Or maybe not worried. One time when you guys have the hug, you and Kyle, that you're going to knock him over.
Oh, he's strong enough, you know.
Yeah, he's pretty stout, right?
Yeah, he's built. You know, he's built.
He's got the power source.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. What is that thing where you guys kind of jump and?
Yeah,
he's a hug. Yeah,
just a jumping hug.
Yeah.
Okay. And you say you're the best friends on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Nelson Cruz here. You've got a unique perspective on Scott Servais because you worked with him when he was in player personnel and kind of development. What's he been like as a manager?
Well, I think through the years, I mean, the last few years, he's been different, you know. I guess first few years, you got that pressure to really push it to win, you know. Even you don't show it, but you feel it, you know. And now he's more relaxed. He knows what everyone can do in different dates. And we all understand him now. Like, we all on the same page. I mean, if you go through the bullpen, even the guys on the bench, the guy can play every day. The guys that come, Batoon guys, you know, they all understand. They understand processing. He knows everybody. He understands also the other teams. You know, he can always come with ideas, do meetings, how to attack, what to defend, you know. So definitely it's a process for everybody, and he's one of the best right now.
Seems like he's making it fun, too, of all the teams that you played on. Is this your favorite? It seems like
it's just a blast. Yeah, we really have fun, and we keep it loose. Even when we travel, you know, we have so much fun in the meetings. We make sure we do what we want to do. He lets you be yourself. Yeah. That's the most important thing. You know, if you want to have a long hair, have a long hair. Whatever your style might be, you just live it. Just do it. You know, be yourself. And as a player, you want to be who you are. You know, and feel comfortable when you go to the stadium. Feel comfortable with what you do on a daily basis. And it makes you a better player.
What's a series like this mean to you? Because you're playing the Red Sox. You have two of the best records in the league. Safeco Field, there's going to be 120,000 people here this weekend. What's it like for you and the team?
It's exciting. You always want to have fun. I think we play for the fans also, not only for yourself. I really like when it's full, you know. It gives you energy, you know. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm a different stadium, when it's a lot of crowd, you know, that motivates you to play better.
We're going to see some full crowds here this weekend. You had about 30,000 here last night. It'll fill up even more. Does chemistry matter for a baseball team?
No doubt. I think chemistry is everything. We all have to be on the same page in the clubhouse. We have to feel for the same goals. You know, winning and bringing that energy is everything. And I think we have that right now.
Does it take time to build that? Because you've been here for 4 years now, and you've had other guys that have been here. Does it take time to build that chemistry?
Well, when you're winning, winning builds everything, you know. And we have, like, the first day of spring training, and we had the first game of the season, and that's one of the things that I mentioned. We had the best team all around the IB power with the Mariners, you know. So we have to take advantage of that, and we're definitely doing it.
Nelson, you got a beautiful family to go home to. Do they ever come on the road with you?
They go once in a while, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got any plans to, like, take them to New York or anything?
Yeah, they're going to be there, yeah.
Are you kids in school yet?
They finished already, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the last day, I guess.
Okay.
So. Spring, that's the best day of the year, isn't it, when you're a kid?
Well,
no,
yeah.
School.
Yeah, but when you're a parent and you know that the kids are going to be hanging around the house all the time, right, it's sometimes problematic.
Yeah, you didn't like
you
that so much?
You got to entertain them all the time. Of course, you don't have to.
I like to have them around. You know, I think it's fun. It makes you relax. Even tough day, it goes easier when they're not around, you know?
Yeah, see, that's the difference between you and me. I didn't like having my kids around. I'm just kidding. I love it.
You know what I'm planning on doing on Wednesday? Just embarrassing the heck out of them, because my kids are at middle school and they get out. I don't know what time on Wednesday, but I'm going to have Alice Cooper, School's Out for Summer.
Okay.
You heard that one?
No.
Oh, you got to hear it. And I'm gonna just blare it. I'm going to roll down the windows, and I'm just going to blare it, and I'm just going to embarrass the heck out of them. That's what I'm planning on doing. And Father's Day, I didn't get a good reaction to that, but Father's Day coming up on Sunday, that's okay. I'm used to awkward silences, Nelson. Father's Day, what's it mean to you to being a father, and what kind of a dad are you?
Yeah, definitely, I think you don't realize how important and how much work and about details until you come up a father, you know, and then you realize, wow, my dad and my mom, they did a lot for me. They always care. They always, every message, every advice they give me was for my best. When you're a kid, you're like, why they don't let me be me? Why they always have to do whatever they want to do, you know? And now that I'm a father, I understand that every single advice they give me was for my best, you know, and I cannot be more proud and more appreciated than all the things that my dad, my mom did for me when I was a kid.
Makes you appreciate your parents,
yes,
definitely. And
definitely.
You had two great parents, both school teachers, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And you used to fix Ford trucks, is that right? Or tow trucks or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, tractors and all, yeah. Big trucks, yeah.
Yeah. You can do everything, man.
I don't think I can do it no more. Not the tractor, though.
Hey, in a perfect world, would you like to finish your career in Seattle?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, but like I said before, I understand it's business, you know. You never know. I've been part of different teams before. And you always want you to stay. You always want to play the pitchers like the perfect one, you know. But I can understand it's business, you know, and you never know. But it would be a highlight, you know, if you can stay here.
Last thing for you here, Nelson. It's been so much fun to watch your team get on the roll that they've you think about all the different things that have happened, injuries and Robinson Cano's absence, all the different things. What's kept you guys and made you guys be able to sort of persevere and succeed in spite of some of the setbacks you've had?
Well, I think, we're really close as a team. If you go inside the clubhouse or when we travel, meetings, you know, in the gym, the training rooms, you will see, like, it's unique what we have there. Not from only the veterans, they come from everybody. We're all on the same page. We all want to win. And they're hungry, you know. I know the city's hungry to win also. And we understand how important it is and how proud the fans are with the Mariners, and we also are. So it don't matter who comes from the Mariners or the ones that are here, we always commit to win games and ensure our best.
He is Nelson Cruz, and is one of the best free agent additions in this city's sports history. Really fun to watch you play, and we're really grateful the time you come out. You're always so great with us and generous with your time. Thanks a lot, Nelson.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, thanks, anytime.
Nelson. Thanks, Nelson.
It is Danny David Moore. We continue from Edgar's Cantina next.
You're listening to Danny David Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
It is Danny David Moore. We're here at Edgar's Cantina. Absolutely gorgeous night. Game 2 of the series against the Boston Red Sox. Last night's game was a great baseball game. And Scott Service said earlier this week, if you don't like the way this team is playing, the Mariners, you don't like baseball. And last night's game is one of the things that you get to enjoy. As you sit on the edge of your seat and you start making the rationalization, because to say the Mariners should have won that game last night, not really. They didn't get that many scoring opportunities. What, they had runners in scoring position essentially twice in the game. And one of those, they got bailed out because Seager got picked off, but then ended up just running as hard as he could for third and got bailed out of a base-running blunder and scores on a sacrifice fly. And then in the ninth, they had an opportunity against Craig Kimbrell. I did not like and do not like the idea of the Mariners showed they can go toe-to-toe with the Boston Red Sox. I don't like that. I don't like it at all, and I don't want to hear it said. Of course they can. The Mariners are one of the top teams in the league, and let's not do this like, oh, they showed that they can really stare down and lose by one run to the Red Sox. They could beat the Red Sox, and we shouldn't be consoled by the fact that they only lost by one.
Okay, so you're not buying the theory of a good loss?
No, I think you can have. It was a great game, but I'm not going to say like they proved something last night. They lost a really exciting, well-played game.
Yeah, I agree with you. What was it? I wasn't here last night, and I couldn't tell on the broadcast. Could you tell on Mariner fans that they drowned out the Red Sox fans, or was it pretty evident that there were a lot of Red Sox fans here?
It was tough to tell because I think there were mics in King's Court. At least I felt like I was hearing King's Court
looked small last night.
It didn't look huge. Felix pitched great, though. He struck out 7, one short of matching his season high. He looked really good. It was tough for me to get a gauge of it. You certainly see Red Sox fans. I felt like Seattle acquitted itself rather well, though.
Yeah, I guess if you're root, you're not going to show a bunch of Red Sox fans. I saw mostly Mariner fans, but I didn't hear a lot of cheering for Boston. So the other thing is, you know, when it gets Price, I mean, man, he was good.
Price was good.
That pickoff move that he had on D. Gordon was one of the more impressive things. You were talking, Danny, to Nelly Cruz when he left here about the one swing where it didn't look like he moved his legs.
Yeah, the second home run that he hit against the Angels on Monday night,
yeah,
where I don't think his legs played much of a role. Like, he reached for it. It was one of the more impressive home runs I've seen just because it didn't look like he had enough of his body involved in the swing to get it out, and he hit it out to center.
Yeah. Well, and David Price, same type of thing, you know, and he probably threw that ball over to first faster than you and I could. Remember when we were on the radar gun down at spring training?
When I took the running start and got it to 55?
58 or something like that. Yeah.
I think you might be generous too.
Yeah, hardly any legs and just ended up picking him off. And, you know, I like what they were talking about afterwards with D. Gordon. It's like, look, that's just the cost of doing business. I mean, you're going to get picked off if you steal that. If you're leading the AL in stolen bags, you're going to get picked off every once in a while. So, but yeah, I mean, that was a tough one, but I think we have the pitching advantage tonight. I thought they did last night.
Yeah, you look at it. So, Felix, I mean, being the fifth pitcher in the rotation right now with Paxton going tonight, you know what he's done the last five starts, and then career-wise against the Red Sox, 0.39 and three starts against him. So, a huge advantage tonight against Porcello.
That's great. Porcello's a former Cy Young Award winner, though, right?
No, I know. That's
but you do feel like you have the pitching advantage tonight. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but I got to admit, if you lose tonight, you're going to be going, oh, man, they're 0-2 against the Red Sox. Well, I hope they can salvage a split with winning two. So they're going to win tonight, though. I mean, James Paxton's out there, but I'm with you on that. I didn't really hear that, though. I didn't feel like it was just a game they lost last night. It wasn't. I don't think you can read anything into it. Certainly their record suggests that they're as good as the Red Sox right now. We'll see how it plays out toward the end of the year. And I wonder, now the Astros, after winning their eighth in a row last night, have a half-game lead. Do you think the Mariners will ever get back into first place at this point?
Yeah, I do, because I think this team is good. And I think that they're going to get
the schedule, though.
Schedule's going to be
so
tough.
Hard in the next week and a half. And then the Astros' schedule, they're playing Kansas City and some other dregs.
They're going to have the same challenges. I do believe that the Mariners, that won't be the last time we see the Mariners in first place. The other thing, in talking to Nelson Cruz, is he the leader of this team? Because for a long, long time, Felix was the star. And he was the guy that stood out just by sheer, like, how good he was and how little run support. He was the guy that stood out. He was the face of the franchise because he was so good. That question of who is the leader on this team, because I get the sense that Nelson Cruz is sort of the conscience and kind of the central guy. There are other people that play roles, but Nelly, the authority that he speaks with, and I think the respect that he commands from the career he's had, I get the sense that Nelson is the leader of this team.
Okay, and if we want to go back into caveman days, he's also the one that could club everybody over the head, because he's huge, man. I was thinking, gee, this guy could play Sam linebacker for the Seahawks. I mean, he's in such good shape. But yeah, 37 years old, and he mentioned experience, which is the word I should have been using instead of old. But no, I respect the older guys. I mean, and I remember being an old guy on the team and telling the young guys, well, hopefully you get here, right? Because it's hard. It's hard to be a better player at age 37. So I hope he is. I hope he's the leader inside that clubhouse, because just from what we see and then what we hear from him during these interviews, he's just the most solid, squared away, as you said, Danny. And just physically, you see how he takes care of himself, and just an awesome leader. So, you know, I would think when Cano was here, it would be him, Cano. I'm not so sure about Felix. I think he seems like kind of the goofy teammate, but certainly he's one that everybody respects. But he's always having fun over there.
Yeah, I've never looked at Felix as being a leader, but being a really good player on the team. But I'm curious what's going to happen with Cruz. So he turns 38 July 1st. Can he keep these numbers up? I thought that he would have a drop-off at some point, and he's missed so many games, and yet he's still on a pace now to hit 35 or something like that. So what do you do at the end of the year? Is there going to be a free agent sweepstakes for him? There'll be questions about him being 38. Can he keep it up? But it sure be fun to see him finish his career here.
The spot the Mariners are at now in their payroll, you need to pay to keep Nelson Cruz.
What would it take, though?
Well, see, that's the thing.
Is he making now 17 a year?
Yeah. I think that you could get him at the similar salary. Like, they paid more than more than anybody else did 4 years ago. I don't think – is he going to get more than he was offered 4 years ago when he was still in his early 30s and hadn't hit 35 yet?
Would you want to pay him $17 million a year at the age of 38?
Yeah, I would. What he means to the team – Jerry DePoto, I thought he put it really well when he was talking with us 2 weeks ago. And he said that, look, when you get good chemistry, I'm smart enough to know that you don't screw it up. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how you get good chemistry, but when you find it, you don't go and change things and shuffle it around. And I think Nelson Cruz is a huge part of the chemistry. And that's not just since Robinson Cano. I think Cano is a really smooth, really likable guy. But I think that Nelson Cruz really is kind of the conscience and the guy that can get serious and the guy that can say, come on, we've got to go do this right now. I do think he has that kind of gravity.
Do you think he can prolong your career just being a DH? And I was thinking about a situational defensive lineman, if he doesn't play all the downs, all the snaps, that maybe you can prolong your career that way. Do you think the same holds true for a guy that's a DH, Dave?
Yeah, I would think so. If you're willing to be, you know, financially be flexible, like, you know, like we see Tom Brady. I mean, he's taken pay cuts and stuff. He could get more than anybody probably. I don't know about now with his age, but where's he going to go, right? I mean, Tom... Tom Brady's not going to leave. And I get that same feeling with Nelly. What year is this for him?
It's his fourth year.
Fourth year. I feel like he's really happy here. He obviously loves the weather. He's got his family here. I feel like, yeah, especially if, you know, you're just going to be the DH for a couple years, you take, I would think, if you're him and you've made as much money as you've made, you take a little bit less to stay on this team and stay in this town.
See the best,
and he loves Kyle Seager, and he understands how valuable he is to the team too.
Yeah, unlike
his best
Danny.
Friend on the team. Yeah,
that was one of those funny ones. I'm often a bad teammate. I will cop to that. That was one of the few instances in where Jim was a terrible teammate.
How many buses did I throw you under?
Yeah, it was at least three. It threw me off for a second where I was going to have to say that exactly what we were going to. Yeah, come on.
I was trying to cut you off there, Danny. His best friend's walking down the stairs.
He's going to knock me in the melon. We will talk about Kyle Seager's game, or what we've seen from him. We've got the professor at 4 o'clock. Absolutely fantastic Friday as the Mariners continue their series against the Red Sox here. From Edgar's Cantina, brought to you by Soul.
This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
It is Danny, Dave, and Moore. It's a Friday. Mariners are getting set to take on the Red Sox game two of this series. Kyle Seager's a really good player. Kyle Seager is a player that the Mariners are fortunate to have at third base. Kyle Seager is not having his best season at the plate so far, and he had a bit of a tough game last night, and especially in the ninth inning, the at-bat he had against Craig Kimbrell, who is an excellent closer. I think the discussion about sort of what the Mariners should have done differently, there's nothing to do differently there. It's not a matter of having Seager bunt somebody. Seager's one of your studs. Seager's a guy that you've invested a lot in and has been a gold. He's playing a gold glove caliber third base this year.
Yeah.
He's still got double-digit home runs. You hope that he hits for a higher average the final two-thirds of the season than he does the first third. The one thing, and this was one of our listeners, Ross, brought this up to me, that the criticism of Felix Hernandez has greatly outweighed the criticism of Kyle Seager. And there's reasons for that. Felix has struggled for this would be the third year that we've worried and wondered about Felix's performance, whereas Kyle, this is really the first time he's had a year that's making you feel that, yeah, you know what, he needs to produce a little bit more to be given the contract and given the investment that the team has made with him. And that question of how do you fairly analyze it, because I certainly don't want him not on this team. I like Kyle Seager as a player. I do hope he hits better the second two-thirds of the season.
Yeah, but he's going to, and that was one of the things in your rant before Nelly almost crushed you from behind because it's his bestest buddy.
Yeah.
You were saying, well, I'm tired of people saying, well, he's going to get better. Well, he is. He is going to get better, right? I mean, and as long as he's hitting 12 home runs right now and you're getting the defense from him, yeah, I mean, don't you think it's inevitable that his average comes up? Now, we've been saying that for a couple weeks now. And Nelson, you know, we talked about him early on. He was down there where Seager is, around the 220s, and he came back. He's been as hot as can be as a hitter. So, yeah, I think also that just the defense too. It's been really remarkable what you've gotten from Kyle Seager, and I'm saying that even though I know he's a gold glove in the past, but third base has to be such a difficult position. And by the way, also Healy with another just awesome pick and stretch last night, and I think it was on a Kyle Seager throw, but man, just what you're getting defensively and home run-wise. And also everybody else is picking it up. So I guess you got angry about that at-bat last night because it was three up, three down.
No, what I got angry about is that Jim has gotten so mad at Felix, yet Kyle Seager he doesn't want to hear any criticism of. Because, look, if Kyle doesn't hit for a higher average the whole rest of the season, I'm not fine with it. But it's not like I want to change third baseman or I want something different or I want to move him for a better player. Players have off seasons, like it happens, like where it declines. I do think there is, maybe it's my fairness little indicator that goes off, that it's okay to criticize Felix for what's going on, but we're not going to touch it and talk about how Kyle Seager could be doing
well
better.
There's a reason for that. Would you like to hear what it is?
Yes.
Because I never have really thought that Felix has bought in completely to what management wants him to do. And so, right or wrong, that's just my perception of it. And if that is the case, So that's why I feel that way about him. That's why, and plus he hasn't been very good. So with put it bluntly, he hasn't.
He was good last night. How about two or three?
And I don't know why I stick up for Seager so much. I guess where would you put? Okay, so he's hitting 226 on base percentage, terrible too, 276. But his career average is 261. He's not that far off of that. The home runs 12. RBIs 41. I mean, he's on pace for what? 25 homers and 95 RBIs. You take that. Where do you put his run prevention at third base? Because okay, go ahead and let him keep hitting two. We keep talking about Zunino. Well, he's hitting 208, but boy, he frames pitches and he throws guys out, and he's great with the pitchers. And so, how about giving Seager more credit for his defense over there while he's going through this? And again, as I pointed out, of course, this is a small number. But the last four games, Kyle Seager's hitting 316. And I know he looked bad in that last at bat. You know, you got to protect the plate with two strikes. But still, Craig Kimbrel, one of the best closers in the game. And I honestly don't know why I'm sticking up for Kyle Seager so much. I guess it's probably because I love his swing. And I can't believe that a swing like his is going to go a full season not giving you good results.
Just to play devil's advocate, though, if they weren't winning and you didn't have what you're getting from Ben Gamel and Mitch Haniger and Segura, there'd be lots of complaining about Kyle Seager.
Yeah.
And you know, $19 million a year, you know, where are you? Gold glove, third baseman, and the defense has been good. But if they didn't have the record they had right now and weren't winning those close games and getting all that production, yeah, I think he would be on the hot seat.
I think this is one of the – we've lost the ability in today's sort of hot take culture and criticisms to say, like, it's slightly disappointing, this player's performance, but I don't want to do anything drastic. Where you're like, because that's kind of how I feel about Kyle Seager. It's not that I think that, oh man, he's underperforming. It's not quite as much as you'd want. You want something better, and it was a disappointing at bat in the ninth inning. But it's not like I want to pound my fist on the table and say, get somebody else in here to do it. I love the way Kyle Seager fits on this team. I love the defense he plays. And all of the things you said about the run prevention are true. But I'd like him to have a little bit better at bat in the ninth inning and not get picked off second base. Can he not get picked off anymore? Can we just agree that he shouldn't, like, veer too far off of any basis because he's not fast? Like, Segura and him drive me nuts.
Since they're 19 games over 500, can we just say it was a heads-up play that he scurried to third the way he did?
That was one of those where I was like, that's a bad process that equals a great result. Like, he gets a stolen base for it. And I guess sometimes that just happens.
Well, I see that sometimes we say, well, if they'd have converted on that down, we wouldn't be talking about it. This is one of those instances Danny's going to be talking about it because it did turn out positive. But, yeah, Segura, he's the one. That double play last night, and I thought I heard somebody scream on the broadcast about run it out. He was kind of jogging. And when the guy, who was it, Bogarts, whoever, was tagged the bag.
Made a nice play out
there.
It was
a great play. Tags the bag, and he throws it, and you see from the perspective, shoot from center field, like when the first baseman catches the ball, which wasn't exactly a dart because he was on his knees. Segura was nowhere in the frame.
Yeah. I thought Robbie was back.
But, you know, look, it's hard to criticize him, too, but it seems like once a game, Segura does something that makes you scratch your head.
Yes. And sometimes, like him getting thrown out at the plate the other night, it's not his fault. Like, he probably made the right play there, and it just happens because he's an aggressive base runner, and then there's other times that you're not. But I think if we could just have Kyle go base to base, like, don't round to the bags. Just go stand on him. Just go ahead and stand on that bag when you get there and wait until someone.
Whatsoever.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Just you stay there. You go station to station.
I can't wait until Kyle Seager gets these numbers turned around so I can be right about something else. I can't wait for that because
no,
that guy with that swing, there's just no way that it's going to continue like this. It's not like it's all that horrible anyway.
There was an unnecessary word in the sentence you said. So I can be right about something, period.
Yeah, well,
there was no else that was necessary, so I can be right about something
occasionally,
else.
Occasionally, I like to have a hot take that comes in, Danny, every once in a while. Yeah.
Broken clocks and Cougar Rose Bowl appearances. Hey, it's Danny O'Neill from Danny David Moore.
Danny O'Neill.
We got John Clayton coming up next.